because of a virus, change how we live and interact with people around on a daily basis. It has caused fear and anxiety. It has caused some to treat others like they have the plague. Or is what we see happening a continuation of the deterioration of the world in which we live because of sin in the world? Is that what it is? I think that's part of it. Daniel, there's a verse in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We have watched over the last 150 years that there's a knowledge curve. Brother Ed's talked about it. That curve is gradually going up and up and up until it's almost going straight up in the air with how knowledge has increased. But something else has increased right along beside of it. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We watched both those things go right side by side, especially in the last 25 years, and then just in the last 5 years, what have we seen take place? We've seen we have watched this world in which we live progress. President Trump said the other day, and going back to this thing of our knowledge and what we've been able to accomplish, he made the statement that we put a flag on the moon. The day's coming that we're going to put a flag, the United States flag, on Mars. That's where we've come to. We've come to, my grandmother saw the invention of the automobile. We've watched this automobile expand, and they're luxury vehicles now, and won't be having cars that'll drive themselves, or they're already here. They're in the making right now. I think there's probably going to be some lawsuits out of that. But somebody's going to get hurt, you know? We're moving toward the 5G world. Do you know what that is? AI, artificial intelligence. They're talking about creating robots that look like and talk like people. They're going to go around asking, are you real or are you a dummy? And you know it's going to be the robot asking us if we're the dummy. But along with it has increased the intelligence of our world, has also increased the tolerance and the numbness of sin. You don't have to play Monopoly anymore to get out of jail card, a free card. You just get arrested and they escort you to the front door and get out of jail. The government will pay an unwed mother for each of her children as long as she stays unwed. This is where we've come to. It's been accepted. We've had to accept the homosexual lifestyle into our society. We've had to accept all these things that the church has never really approved of. And we come to the place where we live in a world where right is wrong and wrong is right. We're there. That's where we're at. The world has changed and will continue to change. So we must look for things that don't change and hold on to them. Folks, I'm holding in my hand a book that hasn't changed. God hasn't changed His word. Sin is still sin. Right, wrong is wrong, and right is still right. Though the world doesn't want to accept that. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 3:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He hasn't changed. God and His Word is still the same as He always has been. He is the same as He was in eternity past. He is the same in this present time, and He will be the same in eternity future. Question. Since I came here, came here in 2005. And whenever I've been able to preach, I preached on three specific things probably preached on those more than any other time in my life, you know, than anything else I've ever preached on. Do you know what those three things are? Do you remember? That's one. Well, I preached on that, but that's that. There's something else. Being in God's word and faithfulness. Those are the three main things I've preached on since I've been here. By the way, those three things still apply today. And we'll look at some four men and see what took place in their life. The first ones we're going to look at is Paul and Silas. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, look at, beginning in verse number 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out of her, came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them unto the marketplace, unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, here they are, Paul and Silas. They're doing God's work. They're going around preaching the gospel. And they come across this, they come to this town. And they're going around preaching and testifying. And this lady, this young lady, who was a soothsayer, she made money for some people by telling people's fortunes. So she saw them, she heard them. And she goes around behind him. Now, here is this woman. She's soothsaying, or what she was doing. She had the devil in her. And by the way, the devils know all about who Jesus is. And that's what took place here. And she said, these men are the man. They're telling you the truth. They're telling you about Jesus, that he is the Son of God and who he is. And this went on for several days, and Paul finally had enough. And he commanded the spirit to come out of her. And he did. And what happened was, this young lady, this soothsayer, she got saved. So when she got saved, these men that she was making this money for, they didn't have that money anymore. So they got mad. And they got Paul and Silas, took them before the magistrate there, had them arrested, and they were in trouble. They're in jail. But what'd they do? Who was praying? Paul and Silas were, weren't they? What were they praying? We can only guess exactly what they were praying. I'm sure to get out of jail. Lord, we need some help in here. We're just doing what you called us to do, and we're in trouble, and we need your help. But something else they did. They sang praises. We're in jail. We're doing what God called us to do, but we can still sing. We can still praise him, because it was all for him. They sang praises. Who heard them praying and singing praises? The jailer, the prisoners did. And I guarantee you the jailer and his family heard them too, because the jailer lived there at the jail. He heard it. Earthquake takes place. And by the way, God has a way out of every situation we get into. He has a way for us to get out. We just got to find out what it is. He may not show us right away. You see, so most of the time, a lot of people, they don't pray until trouble comes. And sometimes that trouble keeps going on and on and on. But what are you doing? You're praying. Guess what? God's got your attention. Sometimes he leaves us in a situation because then he has our attention. And we're talking to him because, you know what? God wants to hear from us. He wants us to be praying. If God has any need at all, it is to hear from his people. But most of us don't pray until we get ourselves in a bind. So when we get in a bind, he leaves us there because he gets to hear from us. It's sad, but there's a lot of truth into that. But who heard them? The prisoners heard them. The jailer and his family heard them singing and praying. The earthquake takes place. And the first thing the jailer does, he grabs a sword because he was afraid those prisoners were escaped. And he was responsible for those prisoners. And he was going to be put to death if those prisoners escaped. And he knew that. So he's going to kill himself. Go ahead and kill himself, get it over with. But Paul said, wait a minute. Don't do that. We are all here. He said, all of us. That meant all the prisoners. Paul and Silas and everybody else was still there. So he gets a candle. He goes running in the jail. And there they all were. He heard them singing. He heard them praising the Lord. He knew there was something different about those men right there. And he got saved, him and his family. And I have to think that some of those prisoners, they got saved too. Scripture doesn't say, but that's just my opinion. I don't have anything to base that on, but I just believe that's what happened. God took care of his people. He took care of Paul and Silas. And they left there and went out and preached elsewhere. Then there was another man. Acts chapter 12. This man's name is Peter. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, I didn't look it up. Now, how big is a squadron of soldiers? I think it's, is it 100? I think it's 100 men. But he says four squadrons. So if I'm guessing right, they had 400 men just to keep Paul in that jail. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Who's praying? The church is praying. A while ago it was Paul and Silas. Now it's the church is praying for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now get this. Bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and shined a light in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened of his own accord. And they went out and passed through the street, forthwith the angel departed him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And Peter went back there where the rest of the apostles were and banged on the door. He knocked on the door and called to him. And a lady named Rhoda, she went to the door and heard Peter's voice and was so excited, she ran back to tell the other apostles, but didn't even open the door, let him in. And they told her, "Oh, you're losing your mind. It's an angel. You're just dreaming. You're hearing his voice." And he kept knocking and banging on the door. And finally, somebody else came to the door. And sure enough, there was Peter. And they were glad to see Peter. You know what? They were surprised that they were praying for Peter to get out of jail. God answered their prayers, but they were surprised to see Peter at the door. How surprised are we ever? Have you ever been surprised that God answered your prayers? I have. There's been times that God answered prayers. I was shocked, and it shouldn't shock us. Remember, God's always got an answer for our prayers. It may be yes, it may be no, it may be wait. But there's always an answer. God knows what we need. And they rejoiced when they saw Peter. I think it's very interesting to note, later in the chapter, Herod standing before a crowd of people speaking. And they say, "It's the voice of a God speaking to us." And you know what happened to Herod? The Bible says that worms ate at his belly and he fell over and died because he gave not God the glory. He took it all upon himself. I thought it was kind of interesting that he rose up and tried to kill Peter. He did kill James. He tried to kill Peter. Some of these folks out there need to be careful when they rise up against God's people. Because God will take care of his own. Who was praying? The church was praying without ceasing. What were they praying for? They were praying for Peter to get out of jail. Who heard them praying? Everyone in that room. And then they were shocked to see Peter at the door. There's another man. By the way, All what we've been talking about was taking place. These folks who had given their life to God to live for Him, they determined that they were not going to change. Paul and Silas kept preaching the same gospel after they got out of jail. Peter kept preaching the same gospel when he got out of jail. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole realm. Now, Daniel, in this chapter here, they're getting into politics here. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, now it's not the president like our president. They were just over a group. They were like a mayor or whatever. They were over a group of people. Daniel chapter 6. That these princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. And this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel was over a group of these, and he was the number one guy in the whole group. And the rest of the presidents, the rest of the princes of these 120 provinces did not like Daniel. Maybe it was because the king was showing favoritism to Daniel. But Daniel was a Jewish boy. Well, he's probably a middle-aged man by now. And the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel had always been involved in, ever since he was taken captive as a teenage boy and they took him to Babylon, he was taught in the ways of the Babylonians and the Chaldeans, and he was always somehow in the government some way, around leadership, his whole life. But he was in those leadership positions. But Daniel never changed his position of his heart and who he was and what God was to him. It was always the same. They couldn't find fault in the kingdom and how he reacted and how he took care of his duties in the kingdom. They couldn't find no fault. So they decided, we're going to get Daniel. We're going to make laws against Daniel and how he worships God. We're seeing that today, folks. We're going to make a petition and we'll get the king to sign it. We're going to make a petition, that a decree that the king will sign, that nobody can pray, nobody can ask anything of anybody except the king for 60 days, whatever it was, however long it was. And the king signed it. Said all the princes went there, but you know who didn't go? Wasn't there? Daniel wasn't there. Did Daniel know about the decree? Yes, I do. I believe he did. He knew exactly. He knew that he wasn't going to be allowed to pray anymore. So what did he do? He went home. He opened the windows of his house. He looked toward Jerusalem. And he got down and prayed, like he did every day, 3 times a day. He would go home 3 times a day, get on his knees, and pray with his windows open so everybody could see. And those princes and those presidents went to the king. We caught him. We got him. He's been praying. We heard him. He had his windows open for everybody to see. Daniel did not change one thing. Though trouble came, though even decrees were made and laws against it, he didn't change. He kept doing what he always did. And the king was when the king realized what was going on, he tried to find some way to get Daniel out of it, but he couldn't. And Daniel had to be thrown into that lion's den. But the king made the statement. Verse 16. Thy God, in whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. If the lions ate Daniel and he died, what was the worst thing that was going to happen to Daniel? He was going to go to heaven. If I get sick and get the COVID, and I go to the hospital and have to be put on those ventilators, and I die, what's the worst thing going to happen? Going to go to heaven to be with Jesus. Going to go get to see my mama again. Going to go get to see my grandma again. Going to go get to see my mother-in-law again. I loved my mother-in-law. I had a good regret. I had the best mother-in-law in the entire world. But listen, folks, if we have a heart attack and die, what's the worst thing going to happen to you if we know Jesus? We're going to go to heaven. See, Daniel knew if I die in this den, I'm going to be delivered. If I live in this den, I'm going to be delivered. So no matter what happens, God's going to deliver me out of this mess I'm in right now. So I'm just going to keep doing what God gave me to do, and I'm not going to change one bit. And when the king came the next morning, they took the roll of stone away. Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And it got real quiet. And then a voice, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel. The whole time that Daniel was in that lion's den, he saw the angel sitting there beside him. He has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. And the king was exceeding glad, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, because he believed in his God. But the story didn't end right there. The king made a command. Get all those men, those princes and presidents that conspired against Daniel, throw them and their families in the den. And they threw them in the den. And it says that the lions had the mastery of them and broke their bones before they ever hit the ground. They'd spent all night in den, and they couldn't, in that den with Daniel, and they couldn't touch him. They were starving to death when the next day. Because some men decided they were going to stay true to God and not change. Folks, we need to stay in God's Word through all this mess that's going on. We need to stay in God's Word so we can hear what He has to say to us. We need to stay on our knees and give our petitions to Him because He wants to hear them. By the way, I've said this before. If we're not praying, what we're actually doing is telling God, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. And how far did that get us? We need to stay true to God. Stay on our knees. Stay faithful to what God has for us. And I'm going to hear, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, listen, this gospel message hasn't changed. Remember a reading that I read a while ago about a man, Gamaliel, told those Sadducees, be careful what you do to these apostles, to these men. Because if it's of men what they're doing, it'll pass off. It'll go away. But if it's not, and if it is of God, you're fighting against God. And for 2,000 years, ever since the church started taking, or ever since Jesus really took the gospel message, ever over 2,000 years now, that gospel message that they started back then has been carrying on century after century after century. It hadn't come to naught. Why? Because the gospel message doesn't change. It's the same. Jesus Christ went to the cross to bear our sins, to die for us, and rise again so that we could be saved and be with Him in heaven when we die or He comes back to get us. The gospel message is still the same as it was back then. If you're here and you're not saved, I'd ask you to listen. What we see happening today, time's running out. It's the next page to turn over right now. For what I see, the next page to turn is we're out of here. But if you're God's, if we're a child of God, stay in His book, stay in His knees, and stay faithful to what He has for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for these folks. Thank You for their patience. Ask Your blessing on them. I do pray if somebody doesn't know You today, they would change that and call upon You. I pray, dear God, that we that are saved, we will stay in Your word. We will stay on our knees. We will stay faithful to what You have for us. And we'll not let this world in which we live change who we are and what we are. And we'll stay true to You, no matter how difficult it gets. Stay true to You. In Jesus' name, amen.